Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
I wanted to start off with this prayer that Father Spencer and Father Steve say because that's how I thought about this invitation to talk today, as meditation of the heart, not to be confused with the meditation that my mom inflicts upon me where I sit cross-legged in silence with my eyes closed pretending not to be totally bored out of my mind. But a meditation of the heart, trying to feel what something or someone is trying to say, even when we don't immediately understand it. That's something that makes more sense to me. And that's exactly what I think today's readings are all about, the idea of understanding things through prayer or feeling rather than the mind. Now, I'm sure most of you are familiar with the phrase, follow your heart. But if you really think about it, it's kind of a crazy thing to ask someone to do. Pursuing something with your heart, no matter how seemingly irrational, with the only light at the end of the tunnel being the hope that someday you will understand the next turn to take, but blindly trusting and persevering anyway. That's kind of crazy. It also provides a pretty good summary of me preparing for today's sermon, trying to decipher today's readings, and often having no idea what they meant. But then again, maybe that's the point. So I tried anyway. Okay, so in the first reading, Paul has a vision to go to Macedonia. He has no idea why, but he goes, hoping he's doing the right thing, and somehow he ends up on a beach. It was a shot in the dark, but later it is made clear that the dream had a reason. It was for a purpose. Paul proclaims the word of God and ends up converting one of the very first Christians on that beach. And then, in the gospel, Jesus vaguely says, "I do not give as the world gives, and I am coming away, and I am coming to you." Who knows where we would be now if one of the disciples had decided to rationalize what Jesus said that day. Grammatically speaking, it made no sense, but the people believed him. Their faith in God was so strong, they were able to look past any doubt and trust, just like Paul did, that things would work out, and Jesus would lead them to where they needed to go if they followed their hearts. In the second reading, however, as opposed to the murky and blind faith of the first reading, and the gospel, we hear about the clear and perfect kingdom of heaven. I think this might be God's subtle way of saying, everything makes more sense from up here, and you'll get it once you hand in the homework. First, we have to blindly love here, and then later comes all the light and clarity. I think growing up in New York, you learn pretty fast not to trust anyone or anything too quickly. From the subway lines, to the prices of the hot dog vendors, to the guys trying to sell you random stuff in Times Square, the lesson is ingrained in you in the first few years of life. As a little girl, the tragedy of homelessness was a hard concept to wrap my brain around. I would see people acting out on the streets in ways that didn't make sense to me, and I was scared. I kept my head down and steered clear, but there was one man who changed how I thought about the world forever, and it was exactly because of his homelessness that he was so powerful. I'm sure a lot of you guys may have actually known him, too, or at least walked by where he used to sit on a plastic grocery carton. His name was Derek McGlashlin, but he introduced himself as Juice. He sat in front of the Key Food on 7th Avenue at the corner of Carroll Street. When I was little, every time we walked by, he would look at me for a second with warm eyes, nod his head and smile, then declare to me and any other kid on the street who might be listening, Don't forget to read a book. He said it every day, and he always remembered me and greeted me with a smile. Mr. McGlashlin had no shelter, barely any money, and spent his days sitting on a grocery carton, even in the freezing cold. But he cared about my education, and somehow it felt like he really cared about me and believed in my future. A lot of people would just walk right by Mr. McGlashlin, often leaving a wide berth and ignoring him. In a rational way, that might have made more sense. He was homeless and smelled bad and was yelling about books, but if you caught his eye, you couldn't help but feel love. It was like the world didn't have faith in him, but he had more faith in the world than any other person that I've ever met. I think that's what Jesus wants from us. To me, that's what today's Gospels seem to be about. Following your heart, even when the world might tell you to do otherwise, and following a higher vision. And that makes me wonder, where would we be if the world had felt Mr. McGlashlin more with its heart, instead of just seeing or rationalizing him? Would he still be alive today? And what about the leaders of our city and state and country? Would they have avoided this man or looked him in the eyes? How would our schools be different if every department of education believed that all of their students could and should learn just as much as Mr. McGlashan believed I should learn? Before the pandemic, my mom used to take us to a convent of retired nuns where we would meditate on Wednesdays, or at least try to meditate in my case. The nuns told us to use the mantra Maranatha, which means come, Lord Jesus. I loved that idea, that word, Maranatha. And I think today's readings show us how actions themselves are a meditation. We might have our eyes closed, we might feel blind, but as long as we remain strong in our heart and follow our feelings, then we're not in the dark, we're in the light, whether we can see it or not. And we have to help and trust in one another, no matter our first impression. Maybe the blindness and murkiness of faith brings us closer to the light of the kingdom of heaven. Maybe when we act blindly out of love, it's actually a kind of meditation. And what we're really doing is saying, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, All Saints Church. Look at who is standing before you today. I, Cameron, am here to share my story of the gospel and what my experiences is being a youth here at All Saints. As a youth at All Saints, I reflect today on my years in this edifice. I first entered this building in the year 2005 along with my grandmother, who can recollect. She is the one that brought me to this place. And as my years progressed, I reflect on the many stages that brought me to where I am today. And All Saints Youth, who has advanced from having my first birthday celebration sitting on top of the pool table in the fellowship hall, with everyone gathered around singing happy birthday. Moving up, I entered Sunday school classes with my Sunday school classmates and three beautiful teachers, Miss Joy, Miss Tamika, and Miss Jackie. In my grandmother's home, there are memories of so many of my Sunday school collections. Not forgetting the beautiful bus trips and showtime, running the red carpet. As we came together, members of All Saints and the community celebrating numerous occasions in Undercough. There were mentors such as Mr. Daryl McLeod, Miss Bill Smith, and Miss Monica McCoy, who are now looking down on me. But yet, there are many others who have guided me and continue to do so, showing me love in many ways in this place as I pressed on. From marching up the stairs on a Sunday morning, coming down the aisles, and making my way up to the altar alongside my Sunday school classmates to receive the gift of God of a blessing. As my baptism at the font in the back of the church, there I was standing up in my little tuxedo receiving my name as a Christian, while my Sunday school classmates and members gathered around as Father Moyes panned water on my head after being presented by my godparents, who is members of All Saints. As time marched on, I realized Mother Julia was to my belief that person that tapped in to make one desire a reality. Sunday after Sunday, I used to ask my grandmother, when will I be able to work on the altar? And her response was, Cameron, that time will come soon. Mother Julia, thank you for my guidance to this path as well as the opportunity for me and my late brother enjoyment with my All Saints family at many basketball games. Yes, church, we are family. Our confirmation in 2021, we were still in time of in the pandemic. Nevertheless, All Saints youth, among others, were able to go forth because of all those who stand with us. Father Spencer, I want to thank you for the guidance on the journey that have allowed me to reaffirm my baptismal vows. As the bishop reminds us that there is one body and one spirit, there is one hope in God's call to us, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all. In the gospel for today, Jesus said, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will come to them and make our home with them. Reflecting on this and my experience here in this place, there's a feeling of belonging, a place where we come together from all over and are welcome, a place that meets you where you are in the midst of difficult times and cover you, a place that shows you that we care and we are here. Father P, your leadership, sermons, and teaching of what it is to love have not fallen on deaf ears. Father Spencer, you get things done regardless of the situation, and I thank you for leading us to the highest heights on the tour at the Cathedral of St. John's Divine. Father Blunt, your kind words of encouragement remains with me. Deacon Jennifer, you are always there. You have show up every single time. I am so proud to say that the leaders on this team, along with all who walk by my side, given your love in many years and continue to do so, have surely given me a second home at All Saints Church, not forgetting my second mother, Auntie Veronica, and Godmother Sylvia. This is that home that God is talking about. This is the place that reflects God's love, a place where God gives and leaves his peace. My heart is not troubled and I am not afraid, but I am in a good place, a wonderful place. On Sunday morning, as an acolyte and youth of All Saints, I begin my day with God. I am taught the word of God. I participate in the fellowship of his body and blood. And I leave the altar. I look up and is reminded that this place will always remind me of who I am and where I started my life as a Christian. And one day, this may be the place where my life will be celebrated and making a home with God. In closing, I would like to say to all that my spiritual journey and teachings in this church have really shaped me for my education. As a student of PS241, I was an honor roll student and led in many assembly programs. I moved on to Mega Harvest College Prep School and exceeded in many areas of my education, given the challenge, but held on to what I was taught and how to pray. I entered the grounds of Brooklyn College Special Program, where mentors and staff recognize who I am and have to continue to encourage me for the road to college. Presently, I am a student at Research and is preparing for my graduation. With my focus on God and putting him first in all things, he will carry me through. I ask all today, pray for us, the youth of All Saints. Amen.